Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, the first 11 verses, and we're beginning a new topic in the letter, which is the topic of spiritual gifts. So I'll just read out those verses. If you've got a Bible, just quickly turn to it, or an app or whatever. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Well, let's just pray before we look at that together. Father God, help us as we study spiritual gifts together. Speak to us clearly, I pray. Help me this morning to be focused on what Paul's focused on, to speak your words. Lord, anything that I say that is wrong or unhelpful, please just take that away. Help us as a church to be seeking after you for what you have for us and depending on you in faith for our daily walks. In Jesus' name, amen. For my 9th birthday, I was given a very special present. It was something I'd asked and begged and pestered for months. Something that I was sure was going to change my life forever. It was, drum roll, a Paul Daniels magic set. Anyone remember Paul Daniels? I imagine some of the younger ones, if you're listening, might be scratching your head. Who? Paul Daniels? Well, Paul Daniels was a magician on TV who would do these fantastic tricks. He'd do impossible card tricks with members of the audience. He'd make people disappear from inside locked cages. And of course, the classic pull a rabbit out of a hat. Now, my friends at school were always skeptical. They were always quick to chip in with, you know, the explanations. Oh, he's just hitting it up his sleeves. It's all just mirrors. There's mirrors everywhere. But those explanations weren't enough for me. And as I unwrapped that magic set on my birthday, I was excited to think that I was going to be able to learn all these secrets. I too would be ready to become a famous magician. And I knew that it had only cost my parents $9.99 from Woolworths, so that was a bonus too. But when I opened the box, I was a bit disappointed. For a start, there was no rabbit. Well, there was a small one made out of card, but come on, that's not really going to count, is it? And then as I read the instructions book, I realized that none of Paul Daniels' really impressive tricks were actually in there. Actually, none of the tricks seemed impressive at all, at least not the way I was trying to do them. So in the end, I probably learned a few tricks and then put the box up in the attic. And a little after that, anyway, the Paul Daniels magic show ran its last episode, and I decided that maybe I wasn't going to be a famous magician after all. Well, I tell that story to introduce this new issue in the book of 1 Corinthians. And the issue is spiritual gifts. It's there in verse 1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And for the next few chapters, Paul that is Paul, the writer of this letter rather than Paul Daniels, is going to be working through this issue of spiritual gifts. And you know what I've noticed generally as a Christian over the years is that reactions to Paul's spiritual gifts can be a little bit like the reactions to Paul Daniels' magic tricks. And maybe you'll recognize yourself in one of these three reactions. First, like my dismissive friends, some people are skeptical, maybe even a bit worried about the dangers of spiritual gifts and getting carried away with spiritual gifts. They worry that some churches put too much focus on them, particularly the gifts of tongues. And they're quick to point to examples of churches where claimed miracles one minute have been followed by the discovery of scandal or fraud the next minute. It's all just a trick. Don't be fooled, they say. Second, as with me and my Paul Daniels magic set, some are fascinated by the mystery of spiritual gifts. They're keen to experience these secrets of a better, stronger, or higher spiritual life. They're perhaps wowed by impressive preachers or demonstrations of power from the healing stage. Maybe they become obsessed with chasing after spiritual experiences. Or on the other hand, maybe they become discouraged by how ordinary and unspiritual their own lives seem in comparison. And then there's the third reaction. Third, some of you might just be scratching your heads. Spiritual gifts? Never really heard of them before. Well, whatever your own background or reaction, we will be spending a few weeks looking in some detail at spiritual gifts as Paul unpacks them in the next few chapters in 1 Corinthians. And in this morning's passage, Paul wants us to know the overall truth about spiritual gifts. In verse 1, second half of verse 1, he says, "I do not want you to be uninformed." I do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, Paul is saying it's possible to get the wrong idea about spiritual gifts, to be uninformed. And Paul here in these verses and in the chapters to follow wants to inform us. That is, he wants to lay out the truth about spiritual gifts for the Corinthians and for us. And in today's verses particularly, he's going to draw out two lines to keep us on track. And you could think of them as the lines of a railway track, the parallel lines of a railway track. When you hold them together, they'll keep us from veering off, from derailing, and from falling for the wrong ideas of spiritual gifts. But we need to hold them together. So what are these two lines? Well, the two lines are, first, the spotlight test, and second, the musketeer purpose. Okay, the spotlight test and the musketeer purpose. So first of all, the spotlight test. Now, this week, I don't know if you got it as well, but this week we received this wonderful half a tree's worth of paper through the post. It's the 2021 census, and it covers all sorts of details about our lives, including religion. It says, "What is your religion?" And you've got the choice. It's a voluntary question, so you don't have to answer it. You've got the choice of no religion, Christian, or in brackets, all denominations, Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, Sikh, any other religion, write it in. Now, I've got to be honest, I was actually expecting a longer list. I'd heard this kind of urban myth that Jedi Knight was once in the census list of religions. Who knows? But even so, that is a lot of religions there, right? And those religions is going to be claiming their own spiritual experiences. And then never mind adding on top other sort of pseudo-spiritual things like mindfulness or hypnotherapy or mediums and psychics and all that kind of stuff. You could honestly spend the rest of your life, if you so desired, sampling spiritual experiences from different countries, from different religions. And you know, in verse 2 of this passage, Paul says that that's what the lives of the Corinthians had looked like before they came to know Jesus. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. His point here is that spiritual experiences are appealing and attractive. The Corinthians weren't stupid, but they'd been led astray to these other idols, to these other ways of life, to these other spiritual experiences, even though what they were actually following was false. No one was forcing them. They were going along with it willingly. They were led astray. It was appealing. It was attractive. It was convincing. So that leads us then in 2021 to a crucial question. If there's so many religions and so many attractive or convincing or appealing spiritual experiences, then how versus what's going to lead us astray, as Paul talks about. So Paul gives us what I'm calling the spotlight test in verse 3. There's my spotlight test in verse 3. And he says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's break down this verse carefully because it's quite central to this first half. True spiritual gifts and true spiritual experiences only come from God's Spirit, who Paul calls the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. So what is it that marks out the Holy Spirit's work particularly? Well, it's this. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will always point to Jesus as Lord. It says no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to point to Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to put the attention on Jesus as Lord. The spotlight test. Now, years ago, I was fortunate enough to be able to go and see the Phantom of the Opera in London. Now, the organ music was swelling around the theatre, and the special effects, the lights, the smoke hovering over the stage, and the powerful performances all just combined to create an amazing show. But I remember one particular moment where the main character, the Phantom of the Opera, appears high above the stage. He's almost in the roof. And there's this real kind of surprise, wow moment as you spot him. But of course, the only reason that you're able to see him at that particular moment is because there's a spotlight singling him out, shining on him, drawing attention to him. Now, at that moment, I'm guessing that there wasn't a single member of the audience who at that point turned around in their seat, looked behind them and thought, wow, that's an amazing spotlight right there. That's some incredible spotlight work going on there. Check out that spotlight. The whole point of a spotlight is that it throws all the attention on someone else, on the main character. And that's the mark of the Holy Spirit's work, to put the full spotlight on Jesus as Lord. So let's imagine, just take a few examples. Let's imagine a friend invites you along to a weekly group that she's been going along to. I think you'd really like it, she says. There's some breathing exercises and there's lots of space for personal reflection. It's really helped me to grow spiritually. Now that all sounds good, right, doesn't it? It sounds all right on the surface, but what's the real test? What does Paul say the real test is? What do they think about Jesus as Lord there? What does your friend say? Jesus? Well, I don't know. It's not really that kind of meeting. It's not really about that. It might seem spiritual. It might have the impression of being spiritual in some way, but it's not God's Spirit at work. Or imagine you're having a conversation with a neighbor and somehow the conversation comes around onto faith. And he says, oh, yeah, of course I believe in God. My wife told me he's real and that I've got nothing to worry about when it comes to God. And you say, okay, well, that's good, I guess. When was that? Oh, it was a few years after she died. I visited a medium and he put me in touch with her, and she just put my mind at ease, told me there was nothing to worry about. Well, I mean, surely it's got him thinking about God, right? Surely it can't be that bad. What's the test, though? Did she say anything about Jesus? Did the medium say anything about Jesus? No, but I don't know. I guess Jesus was there in heaven with her. That may seem spiritual. It may seem to be something positive, but it doesn't focus on Jesus as Lord. It's not God's spirit at work. There's lies. There's deception. Someone's being led astray here. Or to take perhaps an example even closer to home, let's imagine you're flicking through TV channels and you just pause on a particular channel where a preacher's delivering a powerful message on stage. And he's dressed smartly, he looks very presentable, he's holding a Bible even. And in fact, he's even mentioning Jesus several times. But you know, what's the real test? Jesus as Lord. Is the call from this preacher to surrender to Jesus, to give up control of your life and follow Jesus, not just as a genie who gives you what you want, but as Lord who commands you to follow him? What is that call? What is that preacher really speaking about? Is he pointing to Jesus as Lord? Is he really speaking by the Spirit of God? Or is he just speaking from some other spirit? Now, those three examples, they're all real examples, conversations that I've had or situations that I've had with different people, genuine things that are out there, genuine questions like, do I believe this? Do I go to that meeting? Do I listen to this opinion or this spirit even sometimes? When it comes to spiritual things, it's not always easy to tell what's from God and what's not. Funnily enough, the devil doesn't always dress up in red horns with a pitchfork when he shows up to try and lead people astray. I think people would probably be able to notice a bit more if that was the case. Just because it has spiritual in the title doesn't mean it's from God. Just because it seems to be making people happy doesn't mean it's from God. Just because there's a Bible involved or Jesus is name dropped or the church is called the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, it doesn't mean it's from God. Paul's saying, be careful, don't be uninformed, don't be led astray. The test of the Holy Spirit's work is, does he put the spotlight on Jesus as Lord, the one who is high above all others, the one who calls every knee to bow and every tongue to confess the truth? Jesus is Lord. Anything else is at best a waste of your precious time and at worst deadly. So that's the spotlight test, which Paul kind of lays out here in this whole arena of spiritual gifts. And hopefully you can already see how that will help us give a foundation as we look at the spiritual gifts that are given by God's Holy Spirit over the coming weeks. But I said there were two tracks on the railway track. That's the test, but we need to hold the test together with the purpose, the musketeer purpose. Yeah, keep you guessing what I mean on that one, but we'll see in a few minutes. Verses 4-7, I'll just read those again. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, what is Paul saying here then? If the Spirit's goal is to put the spotlight on Jesus as Lord, well, does that mean then that the Spirit only works in one very specific, particular way? No, actually, Paul is saying that the Spirit works in a variety of ways, through a variety of spiritual gifts given to the huge variety of people and tribes and nations that belong to the worldwide church. So the test for true spiritual gifts is the same. Does this point to Jesus as Lord? But that doesn't mean everyone in the church is a preacher or a healer or a prophet. Different gifts, the same Spirit. That's Paul's big point for this second half of the passage. Different gifts, the same Spirit, but all with one purpose. The musketeer purpose in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, why have I called it the musketeer purpose, and why have I got this plastic sword to help that stick in your mind? Well, this verse, verse 7, reminds me of the famous line from the Three Musketeers, all for one and one for all. All for one and one for all. It's another way of saying, look, we're all in this together. All for one. Every individual is important. And then one for all, we each work for the good of everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So not just for the good of one famous celebrity pastor, not just for the good of the church members who give the most or attend the most regularly, but the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to each member of the church for the common good, for the whole of the church, to build up the church, to together point the church to Jesus as Lord. Now, you'll have seen when we read the passage earlier that Paul lists several gifts in verses 8 to 11, several specific gifts. And I'm not actually going to look at these really in any detail at all today. Over the coming weeks, there'll be the opportunity for me to shift that onto someone else to do. But also, we're planning to work through some material on spiritual gifts, which Pete's preparing for our various home groups as well. But Paul's point is that each of those gifts, those different gifts from the same Spirit, have an outward benefit for others, an outward benefit for others, for the common good. These gifts are not superpowers to turn you into a superhero. They're gifts from God to be used to serve others. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, tongues, the interpretation of tongues. These are gifts given to individuals in the church to be used for the good of all. So that's the musketeer purpose. For the good of all, for the common good, all for one and one for all. And as we close on this intro, really, to spiritual gifts, I just want to return to Paul Daniels. Now, it's easy to see, right, why magic tricks, why stage shows, going beyond that, why impressive spiritual experiences, why the whole realm of the supernatural, and why those things are so appealing. It's easy to see that, isn't it? Those things are outside our ordinary lives. They're different. They surprise us. They make us go, wow. They promise a little escape from the hard graft of reality. But, you know, just like my Paul Daniels magic set, they don't actually change our lives. They're entertainment, and they don't really go beyond that. And I think as we look at spiritual gifts in practice, we'll see that they're actually not about impressing or entertaining or wowing us or even others outside the church at all. Spiritual gifts are not the Holy Spirit's firework display to get us all to go, ooh, ah, wow, look at that. When you think about Jesus and Jesus in his ministry on earth, he spent most of his time in the small, insignificant towns and villages, the nowhere places. He ministered to people on the whole with no earthly importance or influence, the poor, the crippled, the outcasts, the rejected. And his path to glory was actually a path of shame, as he carried that heavy splintered wood ready to be crucified for our sins. In many ways, even though I used that illustration of the spotlight, in many ways, Jesus is a hidden savior. He's still laughed at or ignored by many people in the world today. And so as the Spirit throws that spotlight on Jesus, we don't see a fabulous entertainer in like a sequin waistcoat. We don't see like an impressive leader. We actually see a humble king, Jesus, the friend of sinners. And what did Paul say right at the beginning of 1 Corinthians as he was talking about the church? Might have sounded a bit offensive, but Paul said, look, not many of you were influential or wealthy or impressive or important. But God chose those things that were foolish to shame the wise. God chose those things which were weak to shame the strong. Now, Paul hasn't just kind of changed his tactics. Now he's come on to spiritual gifts. We need to bear this in mind because we're going to see that these spiritual gifts are fitting for the kingdom of our humble King, Jesus, the friend of sinners. These spiritual gifts are often the Spirit's power to help us make small changes in each other's lives. A word of wisdom, perhaps, from one Christian to another for a difficult decision. A verse of truth that particularly speaks to a specific moment in your life. A quiet prayer for healing after a service that perhaps has unexpected results. In other words, the more we can detach ourselves from where we began, the Paul Daniels reactions, the magic show, the amazement, the more we'll be able to approach God's Spirit with the right attitude. Because we need to come humbly, knowing that we serve a humble King who is Lord of all. And we also need to come expectantly, come in asking for his gifts, but not so that we might take to the stage, but so that we might be better equipped to serve each other, to build up his church, and to bring glory to him. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for leading us through this passage today. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who defeated death and sin on the cross and now reigns triumphantly at your right hand in heaven. And thank you that Jesus has given his gifts through the Holy Spirit, and he gives gifts to each member of his church, and that includes us, Lord. So as we go through these chapters about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, help us to understand, help us to approach you humbly, knowing that these are awesome things to be dealing with, for your Spirit to be living in us and working through us, and to give us that privilege of serving each other in love. But Lord, also help us to come expectantly, to come with that sense of hunger, that sense of desire to know you more, to be walking more closely with you, together as a church, to be experiencing the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, I pray as we step into this new season, as we look at spiritual gifts and seek out what they mean for us as a church, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just be pleased to pour out your Spirit in a fresh way on each one of us, Lord, and that our church might be filled with your praises, and that the way we live and serve each other might be such a powerful witness to those who live around us, to the houses and the streets around our church building, but to the neighbors and friends that live in our own streets as we are scattered up and down the valley. Lord, would you just get great glory through the work of your Spirit working through us, humble and expectant, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.